Good morning.
Good morning, Janet. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
Are you having beautiful fall weather back there?
We are. It's really got chilly today.
Yeah, so. It's been warm here, and then just like in one day, it's like, okay, where are my sweaters?
Yeah, same thing happened here. So you're still up in Washington State, right?
I am. Actually, last week I found a condo on the Columbia River where the river empties out into the ocean.
Wow.
And I have a view there. So I'm moving in December 1st.
Wow.
You know how life moves. It's just that fast. So I will be settled for at least 1 year. And that will be nice.
Yeah. So this is in Washington State, the Columbia River, you said?
Well, the Columbia is the state line between Oregon and Washington. And I'm going to be on the Oregon side.
Nice. So,
it is. It is a lovely place.
It sounds gorgeous.
It's beautiful, actually. So
wow.
I'm quite excited to get all my stuff out of storage. Well, no, not that, but to have all my things.
Right.
And that will be very nice. So
good.
Focus then. Yeah. I have a question since I have you to myself for a minute.
Sure.
It's about the course, and I remember reading that we were to have 10 sessions with one of the other, and I haven't started that. Is there a time that we're supposed to complete that for our course?
Well, you'll have to complete it before you get certified, because that's a requirement. So, I mean, you know, you guys are sort of the trial run group.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going to happen in the future is that I'll be sort of asking people to get that started and to maybe do one a month at least.
Oh, okay.
While they're in the program.
Okay.
That's not going to really apply for you at this time, but I'll tell everybody, I'll clarify that for the group, because I think you're not the only one who has some questions about that. Yeah. So I'm glad you brought that up.
I'd have to do one a week or something. And I haven't chosen anyone, and I don't know what their fee is, so that will also have to figure into the budget.
Well, if you want to talk with me further about that, I'd be happy to. We can talk offline about it, but there might be a possibility to do a sliding scale for a few students. So if that's something that I like working with people consecutively, I think there's a way to progress a little bit more rapidly that way.
Yes.
But that's something we can talk about. I'd love to talk to you further, because I really see what I'm seeing in a lot of these cases is where our own issues are the thing that starts to get really clear.
I did my fifth session with my client for the casework, and I could see very clearly that
beautiful.
I was, yeah.
Did you get my notes this morning about that?
Pardon me?
I gave you some feedback on your check-in form. Did you get a chance to look at that yet?
I did not.
Okay, because it'll talk about that in there too.
Okay. I knew it. I felt it. I didn't know what to do with it. So, mm-hmm. And we will complete ours next week because she needs to.
Great.
So, that's what that is.
Yeah, excellent. That's progress. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Kimberly. Good morning, Jan. Good morning, Lynn, Rose. Good morning, Valerie. Good morning, Chris. We can't see you yet, or Dorothy. I hope we can.
I don't know why I'm not on screen.
Can you see us?
Yes.
Do you have a little slash through your video icon at the bottom of your screen?
I do.
Just click on that. There you go. Yay.
Hello, everyone.
Hi. Hi, Louisa. Okay, we have one more minute before we officially start. Chris, you'll be happy to know I'm drinking my Beeler's broth. I made Beeler's broth this morning in your honor. Maybe she stepped out. Okay, so we're recording. I don't know how that happened because I don't see Lynn on. but that's fine. Good morning, Steph.
Good morning.
Nice to see you.
Good to see you.
Yeah. Are you walking on one of those treadmill things? Do you have one of those?
Yeah, it's not okay.
No, it's fine. I wish I had one. I've been thinking about that because we spend so darn much time sitting down in front of this screen.
I just put it really slow, so sometimes it's just like really walking, but I'm just...
No, that's great, though. It keeps things in movement. I like that. Okay. Well, it's 11 o'clock, so we're going to jump in, even though we're not all quite here yet. Good morning, Chris. I just downed my Beeler's broth, I want you to know.
Good morning, everybody.
Okay, so let's just do a minute. Let's just take a minute to land and kind of get centered and connect as a group. So you kind of rock your sits bones back and forth, except for you, Steph, since you're rocking them on your feet. That's good. Just rock your sits bones back and forth a little bit. And if you want to close your eyes for a minute, you can do that. And just tap your face, tap your head, or use some compression, whatever feels better, to let yourself just come and get in touch with yourself for a minute. We're so externally focused in our lives, in our busy lives. So just take a moment to center and get checked in with yourself. Feel your own body. Feel your breathing. Take a couple deep breaths and exhales. Feel your legs, your feet on the floor. Maybe tap them on the floor a little bit. Do some stroking. And really land. A couple deep breaths. Letting go of everything, of all distractions, of all other things or places or needs to do, and just kind of drop into yourself. And feel yourself here. And when you're ready, you can open your eyes. So let's just take a couple of moments to do a brief check-in. And tell me where you are, what kind of things are up for you, and also if there's anything that is showing up in your practice with your clients that you have questions about that you'd like me to address, anything like that as we do our check-in, how you're feeling about the work, about what you're doing. So take about a minute each or 30 seconds to a minute each to do that. So Janet, would you like to get us started?
Sure. Other than still needing to work on my thing, so I'm not projecting on my client, but my client is a leaving pattern, and I'm having difficulty. She's like trying to hold a fish. You know, and there's every scheduled appointment has been changed by a half an hour or a day or something. And every time when we start, it's like, oh, I have to leave 15 or 10 minutes early, and I remind her. But when she gets there and we get going, typically it's the full hour, if not over a few minutes. Mm-hmm. So it's like I feel like I have to handle her with kid gloves. And yet at the same time, there needs to be tough love. Mm-hmm. I get too tough, she does disappear, and we go to light talk. I
Mm-hmm. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, well, it just in your naming all of that, it sounds like you already have a sense of how delicate it is. And it sounds like she also needs a lot of flexibility. And also to not be too direct, because too direct is really scary for her. Uh-huh. And you may find an appropriate moment to maybe reflect a little bit about, you know, even what you just said. You know, I love that you are, you know, I find it so interesting that there's a lot of scheduling challenges and needing to, you know, sometimes cut our time short. But then when we are together, it's like you really are getting value out of it. We take our whole hour together, and sometimes it seems like you even want to go over our hour together. And I'm curious about that for you, and what's that like for you?
Oh, okay.
So just even reflecting that to her might show her that it's actually safe and okay, begin to be safe and okay to do that. And the other thing is, once you complete, if she decides to go on, or if you offer her to continue on, you might want to say, or you even might want to say before that at some point, you know, I have some policies around payment and lateness and things like that. And I'm wondering what we can do to maybe be a little bit more, mindful of that, or how it might be able to work for you. So just bring it into a question.
Great. Thank you.
Sure. Kimberly, you want to check in?
Hi. So I'm working really, really hard on finishing a signature program that I can sell online. And I'm really noticing these very deep subconscious old patterns of not feeling worthy, not feeling good enough. Like, who am I? Think I can do this? So I'm just trying to observe it and not believe it. And it's funny to have noticed that I have clients that are also in this space of working on not being worthy and not being good enough. So I'm just trying to watch it and not be so attached to it and be the objective observer. But it's been big this week for me. Lots of these waves of, oh my gosh, I can't do this. I'm not good enough. I don't have enough time. Who do I think I am? So I'm just there.
Oh, great. I love that you're observing that. And, you know, anybody else have that relate to what Kimberly's talking about? Those questions of worthiness that come up? Yeah. You're getting a lot of head nods. You know, the interesting thing about worthiness, I find too, is that especially when we start to get really good at something and really successful at something, and you could say like the power increases of the results, the other part increases too. Like, what am I doing? Oh my God, this is really, you know, it's like, it's almost like an ego challenge. Like, wait a minute, you know, how can I be this good at this? And no, I can't be. And I don't know if that's resonating at all for you.
Oh my gosh. Yes. It's like the more I put myself out there that I do this and I feel confident in it, then it creeps up on me like, oh no, no, you can't.
Right. Yeah. Boy, I get it. So there's two other aspects of this. One is the paradox itself of which you're doing, which sounds really good, holding both, right? Holding both, making room for both the unworthiness and then the power and the results. And then there's like, okay, how much do I explore? How much do I need to go into this shadow to explore it? Or how much do I just need to like hold it and acknowledge it and create space for it? And that's a question that I still dance with a lot too. Like, okay, how much is this just, okay, this is pattern. I see you. I recognize you. I'm going to do exactly what you just said, which was wonderful. Focus over here. And then, or how much is there still a piece of my work that's living in there that I need to go and dig a little deeper into? So, and that's really for all of us too, a question for all of us to sort of hold and explore. And, but thank you for sharing that, because I think probably everybody, because all of you guys are having some remarkable results already with your clients. So this is going to show up if it hasn't yet. It probably will at some point. So thanks, Kimberly.
Thank you.
Okay. Valerie.
Hi. I'm really struggling to be here physically today. I got pretty sick at Shine, and I had a high fever for several days, and I'm still putting things back together and not feeling great.
Yeah, well, thanks for showing up anyway, and I'm sorry to hear you're not feeling well. And you know, just pace yourself with whatever you can, and don't feel that you have to get too actively engaged, but just listening might be helpful or soothing in some way. And, you know, I heard that you got sick at Shine. I was sorry to hear that. We missed you there.
Yeah, I missed the last 2 days.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're with us now. So
thanks.
Yeah. Okay. Dorothy, hi.
Well, I feel very much like Kimberly. My client, like me, she's a nurse, and she stays in her head and really doesn't know her feelings, how to go into her body to feel her feelings. And she stays in her head. And so we've been working on going into her body. And where I struggle with this is that some of it becomes teachable moments. Mm-hmm. And I don't know whether, for me, I feel like sometimes the teachable moments are necessary so she understands, you know, like for an example, she talks about the xiphoid process rather than her heart. we talk about the chakras,
uh-huh. Yeah,
where good. Her power, her solar plexus, you know, is that gut feeling, and so the teachable moment has been what are the chakras, and I think we had a breakthrough this week where she is. Interested because she has a friend who also does body work, so she's talking to someone else, and so her interest is picking up a little bit about the energy centers and how they affect her emotions and where they're located and all of those things. And so as an outcome of our last session, we agreed to start doing sort of like a book club together, because she brought up books and I have the same books and how to bring that knowledge in so that she can utilize it more effectively. Mm-hmm. So,
mm-hmm. So I hear the challenge about bringing her out of her intellect into her body, and that you actually share some intellectual common interests with her and she's getting more interested in them. I'm wondering about what her presenting complaint is, like what she wants to work on with you.
There's two. She is, her best friend has twins, and one of them has an eating disorder, and she's 13. So as Nana, she has been running back and forth from New York to Kansas to San Diego to help the parents and this child while the child is at an acute center right now for an eating disorder. And it's time to break away. The child will be discharged soon and is now having long weekends. So it's just leaving the child. How can she separate herself so that she can go to the next stage of true retirement? She retired. What does retirement look like for her? And how does she balance the love for this child and the need this child has with her needs now to fully engage in discovering herself now that she's retired?
Mm-hmm.
And what does she want to do with her life? Mm-hmm. So that's her goal. That's her goal, is is discovering what retirement will mean for her.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to do something with all of you and right now. And this is something that you can do with her, Dorothy, and that many of you, that all of you could maybe do when, if as appropriate with your own clients. So I want you to put your hand out in the space somewhere that represents for you where you are right now in your life, okay? And then I want you to think about, you know, what is your dream of where you want to be, all of us, right? And put your hand in the space somewhere where that is represented for you, wherever that might be. And how far away are these two hands? You know, how with your dream vision, right? Here's your dream vision. What I want in my life is this. And then you have your client describe that. I want to be, make this much money. I want to live here. I want to, you know, whatever the change is, right? So you hold your two hands out there. And now what's in between your two hands? What's living in this space between our two hands? And that's the gap, right, that I have to cross, that I have to educate myself to achieve, that I have to travel to get there. And what are those barriers? Those barriers include physical barriers, perhaps emotional barriers, like, okay, she's still attached, right, to this young girl. Like, my emotional barrier is I'm afraid I'm going to let her down or hurt her feelings or, you know, the mother will be upset with me or the child will never love me or I'll feel guilty. Or those are the emotional barriers that are in the way between this hand and this hand, right? What are, maybe it's financial. How much money am I making now and how much money do I need to make to be over here? And what are my financial barriers and where am I being realistic or unrealistic about the achievement of those things? Make sense? So the first thing is going to be for her to even just name them. Well, I'm too attached, I'm too this, I'm too that. And then you go to your magic three-question recipe. Where does that live in your body? I don't know. Okay, so when we were at Shine, for those of you who are there or who watched it, we did this exercise, right, where we took two pieces of chalk, imaginary chalk, and we drew. Where does that feeling live? You know, where does your challenge live in your body right now? Put your hands there. Boom. Okay. She's not going to know from here. She's going to have to, like, you're going to have to get to her subconscious mind to help her find that. And even if it's just, okay, do some compression. Do some tapping on your body. Or that famous question, what are you feeling as you talk about it right now? These same questions, they come back again and again and again and again. This, what I'm teaching you guys, is not rocket science. I swear it works if you trust it. And you're already finding that, right? Big results. So for those who are intellectual, it takes them a minute. So when we watched, today we're seeing Louisa and we're seeing Jan and we're seeing... So Jan's in particular, right, this woman needed probably more time than we directed her to have quite yet to get in touch with her feelings. So we need to use pauses a lot. And we need to teach her client to use pauses. Hey, wait, let's just hang out there for a minute. Don't talk to me for 30 more seconds. Keep your eyes, close your eyes. You know, what's in your body? I don't know. Well, take your time. Let's find it. Let's take some more time. Okay? It's going to take them time to make that downshift. We'll talk about that on the PowerPoint, too. I have something that might be helpful. So thank you for bringing that up, Dorothy. Is that helpful?
Yes, it was.
Okay, good. All right, Louisa.
Okay. I'm losing my voice, which is terrible. Because this has been a very stressful week, because after Shine, it put me behind. I came right back in our big academy meeting was being held here in San Antonio. So I had an event every evening this week.
Mm. Wow.
And then I had trouble trying to get the video. So But I finally did, so I felt very relieved. But I'm leaving to Germany on Thursday, and I can't afford to get sick. So I've been trying to nurse myself, and that's where my rigid pattern came out, that thinking I had to do everything. So I'm finally looking back and saying, no, it's okay if I didn't get this totally finished. It's okay.
Yay. But
let me tell you, that was very difficult because I'm the kind that has to be there early, that has to be there. Then at work, we were so busy. And as you know, what we decided when we were at the meeting at Shine, I already have a list of patients for Susan because I had no time to talk to them. And I'm going like, when is she going to be here? And I haven't even had time to call her. Because by the time I get home, it's 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And I can't call someone at 10 o'clock at night. But going to Germany, I'm not probably not going to have internet. Who knows what's going to happen? Because I was supposed to unlock a phone, and AT&T sent me the instructions, and I still haven't gotten to that. So it's either that or I might not have access while I'm over there. So I'm just trying to ground myself and try to do as much as I can between now and Thursday.
Yeah, I love that you're really looking at your rigid and making some space around that and giving yourself permission to not be perfect. And I really want to encourage you to be a little bit more indulgent and to get better. So, you know, whatever that means that you have to cancel, if you're going to get on a plane and go to Germany, that's a big, big trip. So, not good to do that sick. So thank you for sharing that and for the positive progress. And I hear how hard it is to give yourself permission to not be perfect. So I love that you're in that exploration of those feelings. Good. All right, Louisa. Jan.
Yeah, I guess we'll probably talk more about it later on, but I learned so much. The more I learn, the more I realize I don't know. So it's like learning a different language. You think you're really understanding, and then you realize, whoa, I missed a lot of things. But I am learning, and I'm so grateful for Laura's feedback. It's helped me a lot, especially pausing my clients. And I'm still not great at that, but I am getting better. And I'm excited that my client she's really having great success in spite of me, I feel like. And so that's one thing that I'm excited about with this work. We don't have to be perfect with it. Mm-hmm. And even if we are, you know, not, we just try and we just do our very best. And they'll still have results. And I'm excited because I feel like, you know, as I continue to learn, I continue to go deep into the soup. That was the one thing that I'm realizing is really hard for me. That was a big aha moment with this last one. I've been taught all my life that what you dwell on is what you get. And what we focus on, we get more of. So my tendency, I realize subconsciously, is to, when they start to go deep, sort of with a little reassuring kind of a laugh, like, oh, yeah, we all feel that way. It's good. Let's not be afraid of this bad wolf. It could be a nice wolf. That's not helping, interestingly enough. I'm afraid of spiraling them down into a deep depression by focusing on this darkness. And I'm coming to realize that they'll pull themselves back out, that it's going to be okay if I do the right things and don't try and solve and interpret.
Yeah. So I'm really glad that you brought that up because in actuality, it is a possibility that we could send somebody into a depression. So we have to make sure that there's enough ego strength in our client to not walk down that path. Like, and I'm going to talk about this more when we watch Kimberly's, but Kimberly's client is a perfect example of that's not a direction we would probably want to go into until they are super, super more stabilized. But in general, yes, that's the direction that we want to go. And I just saw the chat comment. I had no idea this was your daughter either. This was your daughter? This client is your daughter? Okay, so that makes
me really hesitant to actually work with her. And also, I'm going to encourage her also to do work with other people who are not her mother. But yeah. It's been interesting for me. We've done a few, and she keeps wanting to come back. And she keeps asking me, and it's also kind of therapeutic for me to see kind of what's coming up, you know, and to keep that separate. So yeah, this is a whole different learning curve. And probably that's another reason that I tend to want to rescue. So I don't encourage anyone to, to work with a family member, but she was just so enthusiastic. What are you learning? Will you try it on me? And I said, let's give it a go. And so, yeah.
Yeah, that I agree that that I would. It's sort of like being your own the dentist for your own. You know, like let's refer them out. Yeah, okay. But good that you are that she's doing the work and you're doing the work and yes, that comes up that would be natural that it would be a little bit harder to not rescue when it's your own child. So,
but it is good. Just in closing, I will say I'm really grateful because this is helping me to work with other family members, even if it's not a formal session, to know how to respond and to support, hold space, and really nurture them in the very best way.
Yeah. And just on seeing your comment, Lynn Rose. Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily encourage you to take your children on as clients. But I would encourage them to, you know, to go work with somebody and to just, you know, and I don't want to discourage it either. If they are open to it, great. Give it a whirl. If you think that the relationship is stable enough to manage that. Okay, good. All right. Lynn Rose.
Gosh, wait a minute, I'm getting an echo. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay. This last session was pretty much just kind of rehashing Shine. You know, we had a lot of processing to do with that. So I kind of gave her space with that. She was very excited and anxious at the same time about, working with Louisa. You know, she's really excited about that. And, I think she's more my therapist than I am hers with all this too, because we are so alike in so many ways, and it's almost like we don't even have to say anything. We just kind of pick up on each other. But I think that's going to be an awesome experience for her, because she was concerned about how she was going to get the experience with working with clients since she hadn't done that before. Mm-hmm. And she's really looking forward to getting started. She's in the process of moving and selling her house too. So it's kind of a challenge for her right now to work on things. Because I know I've given her some suggestions of projects to do, to do for our interaction. And she hasn't been able to do any of them. And she'll do it in her time.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think what you said, it sounds a little bit like you're getting hooked in the relationship dynamic of she's more your therapist than you are to her right now. And so that's where I would love to do a little bit more supervision with you, personal supervision with you, to maybe help break out of that. But I love that you're noticing it and that you're catching that for yourself. And so if you want to call me offline at some point, I'd be happy to do that with you. Or maybe if we have time today, we can talk about it a little bit more, because this is not uncommon what's happening for you right now. And especially, you know, it's always harder when we have a dual relationship with somebody, right? Your friends as well. So it's, if you're a parent child or a relative, it's always much harder when there's a dual relationship involved to step out and then be in a therapeutic relationship with somebody. So you have that, as well as having similar dynamics yourselves, challenges, then you throw that into the mix, it's, you know, that much more challenging. That said, I don't want to see you give up on her or on the process. And I wouldn't bother with any more homework. for you with her. I would just try to stay focused on what's showing up in present time. You're anxious. Close your eyes. Take a couple moments to notice where the anxiousness lives in your body. Let's just be silent for at least 1 minute while you check in. Okay, so same thing I was telling Dorothy, right, for her intellectual client. So we want to just give that client time to make a shift. Okay, even if your mind is still very busy and still very active, put your hands on your body where you think the anxiousness lives and see if you can just notice what your hands feel like there. So you're really guiding them into the experience of their body.
Okay. And we do that, but she just doesn't go, she just kind of hangs there and doesn't go in deep enough, I guess. I don't know.
Okay, so then just stay with it longer. Mm-hmm. And let her hang there longer. And her mind is probably what often happens for those of you who are meditators, what often happens for me when I sit down to meditate is all of a sudden the volume on my mind goes up louder. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, I'm still and I'm quiet. So bam, this becomes super loud, right? So we have to take time to get past that. So a little bit more guiding of her, but very quietly, very slowly pacing your voice. Your mind might still be busy. Take a breath. Let's take more time. She pops her eyes open. No, close them again. Let's stay a little longer there. I know this is challenging. And then lots of pauses. So really you're teaching her. And it takes time to learn. Okay? So don't be afraid to take that time for yourself and with her. Let's experiment with that a little bit, see what happens.
Okay.
Good. Mm-hmm. All right, let's shoot over to Steph.
Hey. This week has been really chaotic for me, actually. Like, everything from Sunday to Tuesday got changed. People changed everything, and I didn't change anything, but I have responded by like, okay, how about we have two sessions instead of the one? I'll just do a free one, and then we'll do, and love me, please love me. And then I've been doing yoga, like, all day long, and not sleeping. And like, so when people would supposed to be showing up for their session, I would just stand here on my treadmill and do my thing. And then, or when people were supposed to come for like a choir thing and they didn't come, I would just sit there in the studio and like practice the song by my, like, I'm like rigiding up a rigid storm, rigiding all over the place.
I'm glad that you're noticing it, that you're bringing your observer along with you. And it sounds painful too,
I'm just confused, but yes, I see what I am doing. So I think that is good.
Yeah. So as you observe it, what can you do to bring some tenderness around it, or to bring some, as you're observing it?
I don't know. I'm mad at myself for doing this. This is true. I see that now. I didn't realize that, but yeah, I'm frustrated with myself. Mm-hmm. Okay. I see the pattern, but I'm also like, Steph, what the hell? Get over this. Mm. You went to the workshop, like, you know about this.
You're supposed to be Master Daw on this already, right?
Yeah. Enough already. Yeah.
Yeah. What's happening, just sort of saying it out loud?
I realize the absurdity of it. Like, it's almost funny, but it's also sad. So, yeah.
Is it okay to be sad? about it?
No, but yes, but no. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's that paradox, huh? Yes and no. Sad and you're laughing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm going to work through it this time. I've written down all this stuff about like using pauses and taking time until the mind stops. Mm-hmm. So maybe next time I do yoga, I'm not going to just power through it. And I'm going to maybe just sit there and just try to be okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How are you at asking for support when you need it?
Pretty crap.
Mm-hmm. What's funny? What's going on that's so funny about that?
Because I know, but yeah, so I'm not good at it. I also don't know who I could ask right now because I'm just sort of trying to keep everybody together.
Any volunteers? Any volunteers for supporting still?
My 10 sessions with somebody. Maybe I should do that.
Maybe you should. Yeah. Chris is waving her hand.
Okay, cool.
Jan's waving her hand. Lynn's waving her hand. Kimberly. Got a lot of hands waving at you. Would you be willing to pick at least one to do a reach out to from the hand waves that you saw?
Yes, I will.
Like within the next few days?
Yes, I will.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Good. Yeah. What are you feeling right now?
I feel a bit of relief.
I'm glad. Yeah. Yeah, you don't have to do this by yourself. So does anybody want to respond to Steph for a minute? Like, you know, what's happening for you as you hear Steph's struggle? What's it touching for you? Chris, was that a hand? I couldn't tell.
I was just giving her my email and phone number. It's just the honesty, I think, with it is just so sweet.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Chris.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anybody else have this relate to this challenge?
Just watching you and the way your system is, I just feel it within my own system. Like, oh my gosh, I can sense somehow what you're trying to express, and I so relate to it. Oh, and I'm just experiencing what you're expressing, and I'm like, wow, I would love to connect with you and chat with you and support you if I could in any way. I'd be so happy.
Mm-hmm.
It's really touched by your expression, what you're feeling.
Yeah, Mary Lynn. You're on. Yeah, there you go.
Similar to what Kim just said, I'm really feeling just in my body the pain of it, and I just want to say, yeah, I get it, and I'm here too. I'm here for you,
Deborah.
Hey, Steph, I really have loved since I have met you, you know, within the last year, just from when we were together in May, and how you have flipped the switch of the vulnerability within the group has been so awesome that you have really, you know, have connected. The switching, though, sometimes goes back to something that is going on that you feel alone with all of this, instead of like with the group of support. And I think that once you get that, and knowing that there's one person or a whole group of us that are, that you know they can be with us or not, that you know that you have a basis and a core with somebody and have that attachment, because we all need attachment with other humans, that I think that will actually bring you up to a higher level of, then you can do the higher level type stuff with your clients. So I really feel like that that is something that once you start feeling that inside and not being right up here, I know that you're going to just like blossom like crazy. So I'm there to support you with that.
So I want to just add one more thing to this. You know, I think I've shared with the group already, but maybe I haven't, I don't remember, but you know, Steph, you're doing some wonderful work with me, helping me tremendously right now as my health coach. So we have a dual relationship going on also. And I hope that's not making it too complicated for you, but I will say that in my experience of you, even on your quote bad days, you know, I would never know. So, you know, there's enough of you that's functioning. And I think this is really important for all of us. There's enough skill here for all of you that all of you have, that even if you feel off inside yourself, there's enough acumen, there's enough skill that is showing up that you're still worth your dime. So, I've taught some classes before, and I've gone back with my teaching team and my colleagues and said, oh God, I suck today. And they're like, what? Even in your bad days, Laura, you know, forget about it. So I relate to that. And there's still enough of you that's able to show up. And that might, you know, you might have to hold on to that and then process whatever the inner struggles are in the, you know, the best you can in the meantime. There's something else I want to just share that, you know, sometimes those of you who have ever had your astrology chart done, there are periods of time that show up in our lifespan that there's just a rough patch, you know, and you know, it could be however long it lasts, you know, it could be weeks, months, years, days, hours, but they go in and out and we don't have a ton of control over that. That's why the objective observer is really super helpful. So we just have to hold on to what we have, whether it's your yoga or your meditation or whatever the good things that you do, to kind of hold on to the reins and know that it's temporary and it will pass. And sometimes there's, no matter how brilliant you are, no matter how long you've been doing this work, God knows. I mean, I have a colleague that we still call each other and go, oh my God, when is this going to pass? You know? So I get it. All right. So we just want to try to normalize those rough patches when they happen. Okay, Deborah. So we did a Dorothy check-in. Deborah, let's go to you.
Hi, everyone. It was so great to see all of you at Shine. I just loved getting hugs from all of you, most of you that were there. So I really enjoyed that personal time with all of you. My client disappeared. So after our six sessions, because I think that she had some personal things that she had to take care of outside of our relationship that we had. So it's, got a little break right now. So, Steph, if you want to give me calls and stuff, that always helps, to, you know, stay connected with the group. But I've been really talking it up at work. I'm actually going to be going to a business meeting here out here in local area. So I will be talking to a bunch of business owners about what my services are. So it's been it's going to be really great. I get to do that this next Thursday. I was invited to go. I found that with my energy and the way that I relate is I do better when people invite me to go do something versus me going out to search for it. I seem to come more alive when somebody asks me. So I've learned that about myself. And you're right, Laura, about those rough patches. My first 50 years was a rough patch. so that's half my life. So I just wanted to say that, you know, in the last, you know, 8, almost 9 years, it's been one thing to the other. Everything is just going
just flowing so much better. And I really, really know that all of you guys are all there in my back pocket, and that you guys are supporting me, whether you know it on the conscious level or not. I just really want to thank all of you for that. And so I know that there's going to be some more big things in my life. They're going to take those small steps to get there. So my confidence level has come up quite a bit, especially since Shine. So it's been really beneficial to know that all of this group here has just been so supportive. So I really appreciate all of you.
Beautiful. Thanks, Deborah.
Thank you.
Okay, Lynn, let's drop down to you. Yes, you, Lynn.
This has just been a really interesting last couple of weeks. I'm still not home. I left a couple of weeks ago, went down to Austin, Texas, helped prepare for Shine, did Shine. I had our team meeting, and I'm here in Washington State with my dad. And so I feel a little ungrounded. Personally, I can tell I've experienced my body expressing itself. I continually am having leg cramps, which is where we hold that trauma. So I'm just being really aware of it, trying to get outside and ground. So that's my personal journey. And just trying to remain grounded, because it's been a real whirlwind for the last couple of weeks. Also dealing with people at Shine, with team members, and that chaos has contributed to it. But because of that, I'm extremely grateful for the knowledge of this work. And I'll just give one example. There was somebody who had signed up for the full NEPT program. And I know Steph, living in Canada, can relate to this. She went back to her room and figured it out and was like, there's just no way. And so she came back, and she had talked to other people on the team before. And so she came back, and they said, you need to talk to Lynn, you need to talk to Lynn. And her self-talk was extremely negative. It was all about money and affording money, and you know how it sucks to live in Canada and you can't do anything, and it kept coming back to what did she want, and it just really it really brought her into her heart, because I could see her soften, and she didn't stay with that. She went to a different smaller program and she softened, but she kept up with that negative, well, only if I could. And I finally stopped her and I said, we're going to take a pause here. I'm going to ask you to check your language. And she just kind of went like this, and she was like, her head kind of cocked, and she's like, yours. And she just then dropped. Like, you are so right. I just really, it, and she said those words, it hit me. And so I reflected her language. Yeah, I could tell that it hit you. And that again, and so that's something that just stuck with me, of gratitude for this work that helped her. And I could tell through the rest of the meeting, she was in a better place of more awareness of her language. So I just wanted to share that.
Beautiful. What a beautiful application, Lynn. And you know, such a reflection of your sensitivity and your naturalness as a healer yourself. You know, the sensitivity that you have of it. And now, you know, your next piece of work, right? So we really can see, all of us, right, when our work for our own healing has to become more, take more of a front seat. And there are times when when it's both, right? It doesn't mean you can't continue to be in that healing role yourself, but it, there's tenderness around some of your own needs and self-care needs that are also in the mix here. And that's what I would love to see you also, you know, do some more reach out. Like, so you're the first one to put up your hand to support everybody else. And I'm going to challenge you to do the same. How are you at reaching out for support when you need it?
Well, I appreciate you saying that because I'm listening to everybody else and I'm feeling a whole lot less than, like I'm not doing it. So I appreciate you saying that you see that I am.
Yeah, so, I mean,
I'll hold that.
You just gave a beautiful, brilliant example of it. I mean, that was a healing experience for her, what you held and provided for her. And so this feeling of less than is now what needs your attention. And did you see the hands that shot up about supporting for you? Yes, you saw them. And which ones will you be reaching out to?
Hands up, hands up. Okay.
Okay. All right. Good. Okay. Soon.
Yes.
Soon. Okay. All right. Thank you, Lynn. Mary Lynn.
Hi.
Hi.
I am in yet another hotel. I'm traveling and I've found it's really so important to address self-care when I am traveling, especially these long times and trying to find for every call or when I'm working with my client, I have to find a good internet connection. And I've done two sessions with my client, and she seems to be getting a lot out of it, but I'm not feeling like it's the grounded issue. In one session, my connection kept going out. I was out in the country with not a good internet connection, so it was so disorienting. I've just had such a hard time trying to keep track of where we were.
I want to ask you to get to some specific points because I'm just aware of the time.
Okay, sure. That's my challenge is just to take care of myself. I'm going to be home in a week. I plan to be home in a week and that's where I am. And right now I'm feeling pretty good.
Good.
So, yay. And that's it. Glad to be.
Thanks, Mary Lynn. Okay, Chris.
I am doing okay. I'm totally entrenched in AYC stuff right now and getting exhausted. So self-care is a really important thing for me right now too. My client hadn't been in contact with me. I tried to schedule some things and hadn't heard from her. And then I let Lynn know about that and she reached out. And so my client contacted me right after that. So we're scheduled for 5 more sessions starting on Monday. So I'm really happy about that. Thanks, Lynn. And that's about it.
Okay. Thank you, Chris. All right. So I want to do a very quick screen share because I want to address some of the things, the common challenges that we're having. Let's talk about connecting. So I love the couple also to sort of tie in the two chapters from the book that I asked you guys to read. So listening without our own agenda, right? So when we're listening, it's really, if we're repeating back, we're not able to bring in our own agenda. That's the great news, right? So if you're repeating back, if you're listening, then you can't bring in your own agenda. Focusing on the client's essential self, reflecting for understanding. So that you understand deeper, not to interpret, not to lead, not to tell them what to do or advise them. And then I want to just bring a little remembrance back to force, space, and time. Back in your consciousness, we all did this, or most all of us did this in Module 6. we looked at and we worked with Forrest looking at soft and strong, direct and indirect, gradual and sudden, to notice these things as you're listening to your client to help you be able to reflect more a shift when you see it happen. In other words, if somebody's talking, and this showed up in your session, Jan, she's talking really fast, really fast, really fast, and all of a sudden she slowed down. So we might want to be able to reflect that, say, all of a sudden your pace really changed when you were talking about, you know, the rabid wolf. All of a sudden you really slowed down. And that's all we need to do. We don't need to interpret it, Deborah, so be careful of your trap of interpreting. We just need to reflect and let them go, yeah, oh, I did that, and let them interpret for themselves. Okay, she talked about respect. So I want to remind us again of trusting the wisdom that lives in the client, using I language is what she mentions. When we use I language, when the client uses I language, they have the best possibility of dropping down from the intellect. So those of you who are having challenges getting your clients out of their heads, you have the best chance of doing that by having them change to I language. She even talks about that in the book also. So you'll hear that depersonalization switch go off, right? You know how when somebody doesn't show up, when they tell you that they're going to show up and you feel really pissed off. Okay, would you just say that again, but insert I instead? I get really pissed off when somebody doesn't show up. Immediately, they're going to feel that more. So, Lynn Rose, this would be something that you could also, that Susan probably does a lot, I'm guessing. In fact, even at Shine, I heard her do that in talking. You know how you don't think something like this is going to happen for you, but then it happens, you know, so just say that, just repeat what you just said to me one more time, but change it from you to I. So when they're talking about facts, 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 our job is to drop them down into feelings from the head chakras into the gut, solar plexus, heart, second chakra. So that changing to you language will help, closing your eyes will help, taking deep breaths will help. All of those things will help drop them into feelings. Underneath the feelings are sensations. So we don't want to ask them, how big was it? What was it shaped like? You know, was it thick or thin? We don't want to go to energy language until they're connected to their feelings. Because if you take them into energy language before they're in their feelings, they're just going to be in their intellect, you know, making up stuff with their imagination. When we're connected to feelings, when feeling sensations are happening first, then, you know, I'm so pissed. I feel like I could just, you know, slap somebody with a 2x4. Okay. Tell me where that feeling lives in your body. It lives in my gut. Oh, tell me about your gut. What's the sensation like in your gut? It's thick. It's heavy. It's intense. Is this making sense now? And what some of you are doing is you're going to sensation questions, but it's bringing them right back up into facts. So we have to connect to feelings first. It goes facts, feelings, sensations. It drops down into the system to more subtle layers of consciousness. If you get this, if you can understand this, this is a big thing. This will really help your work go deeper. Paradox. When we get close to a core belief, there's a feeling that is too scary to feel, and therefore a split or a paradox arises. So this is what's showing up for. Kimberly talked about it. Steph talked about it, right, in our check-ins, right? This is what's showing up is paradox. There's a split because there is some feeling that still lives in me that's too scary to feel, so I'm going to split off from it. And our work as soon to be a different name, which I'll talk about later, transpersonal energy healing coach, practitioner, our job, Janet, is to explore both sides of that split. Jan and Janet, right? You two who want to stay in the positive land, we have to get to both sides of that teeter-totter. Okay. And then appropriate self-disclosure means practicing containment. Does your sharing take them deeper, or does it become all about your great story? Well, let me tell you about a time when I related to them, this happened to me or that happened to me. So keep the focus on the client. And some of you are still not summarizing the entire session. I know that sounds big and scary and hard, but trust that if you just, it's like jumping off a diving board. If you just jump, you'll find that you can, even if you just remember two things that they said, the minute you start summarizing, it will all come back to your mind. It's all in there, but you have to trust it. Okay. And then just trust your three magic questions. They are magic. They are powerful. They work. Keep using them. Okay, questions about any of that before we do our cases? All right, so Louisa, would you like to start us off about your case? And we're going to have about 15 minutes. And Jan, can you be our timekeeper again for that? Okay. How'd you do, and how was it, and what would you like to share?
Well, one thing that was really interesting is it was bothering me that the knowledge that I was recording. So I would, like when I would ask questions, there were times that I would, in my brain, I would go like, where do I go next? Mm-hmm. But then I finished it, and I have no idea at how many minutes it was when I finished it. But in my mind, I said, well, I only needed 10 minutes recorded. So I finished it, but then we continued the session. And what I noticed was I felt more relaxed. Mm-hmm. And then I felt it went much better. Now, unfortunately, I don't know if I felt guilty this week about it, because I've been steering so much of her emotions, and she came down with shingles yesterday, but in the eye. So it was not good. So she called me, she texted me, and she says, that she was in a lot of pain. So the first thing that worries me about her, because she kind of mixed her symptoms, and she told me she was seeing floaters and she thought she saw a flash of light. Well, she's an extremely nearsighted eyeball that she has a condition called staphyloma, where the eye, instead of just being round, oval, it goes like oval and then another big deep, like a tunnel, and that's a staphyloma. And she has that in her right eye, and that's the eye she was complaining. So I had her come in the office yesterday, and I have another doctor there. So we were worried about her retina. So we did everything for the retina. And she kept saying, I'm having a lot of pain, I'm having a lot of pain. And I'm going like, well, you can't have pain on the retina. So just for some weird thing, we decided to stain and look at her cornea, and we see the beautiful dendrite all the way from 6 to 12 o'clock and about 5 little baby dendrites, and we're going, oh my gosh, that's shingles. And so we had to prescribe a lot of stuff for the shingles in the eye, because it can be very dangerous. So I checked on her this morning, and she's still hurting. And then I thought to myself, oh my gosh, because that would happen if you're pretty stressed out. And I thought, maybe this has brought in too much, or we've gone too deep or something. But she seems to enjoy it. She just asked me, can we have another session tomorrow? I'll ask Laura today.
Well, I think there's your answer, right? She's asking you, so there's something positive that's happening for her about it, and it sounds like you've given her just beautiful, excellent care. I mean, really gone above and beyond and done everything you could to make her comfortable. And having had shingles in my right eye, like severely, 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 I was hospitalized. It was so bad. So I get it, and I don't think this has anything to do with the shingles. That your process did not create the shingles for her. So, and she clearly must know that herself because she reached out to you. The work that I saw that you do was really good work. And, you know, and yeah, there are some things that we can do to make it better, but I would also get used to recording everything all the time with all your clients. then they forget about it, you forget about it, and then you get used to it. And also then you can just choose which session do you want to submit. You know what I mean? Like this would be a good example, or this is where I got stuck and I'd like some help. So just get used to recording. Anything else that you, so the thing I hear that you're saying, is about your, also some of your taking on, you know, your clients' feelings or symptoms. And this is a common thing with us as practitioners, that we have to really be careful of, that it is not a good idea for us to feel, we can feel for someone, but we don't want to feel what they are feeling. And if you notice yourself doing that, then we're too merged. And we need to step back and detach a bit. And it doesn't help them, and it certainly doesn't help you, to feel what they are feeling inside your body. Try to feel it over there. And yeah. And if you feel yourself get caught in that, I mean, to some extent it's natural, right? There's some empathy that happens. But there's a difference between empathy and merging and taking it in and feeling their symptoms or feeling their stuff in your body. And that's also something for us to look at our own merging pattern or maybe get some help with or some support with our own therapist or healer to work on. And by the way, Janet brought this to my attention and asked this question, so I'm going to just address it now. Well, no, I'll address it after. I don't want to take up your time. So let me go into some notes that I have for you, unless there's anything else, Louisa, that you wanted to share with us about that.
No.
Okay. You did a lot of really good, really good rifting. Good. What did a little better look like? Good question. What is that like to feel detached? Watch what is happening in her as you are repeating. I felt that you were struggling a little bit with just trying to repeat the language correctly or properly. Don't worry so much about that for you. I really see that you've got that part, that you understand the value of repeating, that you are repeating. As you repeat, be more concerned about how is it landing in her? How is she hearing it? When I repeat it back, that's going to give you much more information. Watch her response to it. All of you, this is really for all of you. Where in your body, I loved that you asked her that specifically. When she says, or when anybody says, I feel like I want to cry, the question is, what would happen if you did cry? Or can you let if your body feels like it wants to cry right now, can we just give it a moment to do that? Right? We want to hover in that emotion unless they're a looper of tears, unless they're a boo-hoo, unless they're a victim of tears, then we might want to stay away from that. But that's more often than not in our culture is the, is the sort of reserved holding back from the tears. I feel like I'm drowning. That was a great description of energy she gave, right? I feel like I'm drowning. Say more about drowning. So whenever we get really specific, potent, poignant images like that, we really want to help the client explore them more specifically, more deeply. Good catching her hand gesture, pushing down. If I'm part of family drama, then I'm not myself. I'll feel suffocated and not me. So poignant, right? And so full of very vivid energy images. Tell me more about suffocation. Tell me more about drowning. That's all you have to do, is just take those poignant, very specific images and have her say more about them so that she can go to the core of the sensate feeling. What's it like to feel like you're drowning? Tell me more about drowning. Describe that. Where does that feeling of drowning live? As you're talking about it, what are you noticing? In present time, so I'll talk about that more later, but in present time, good catch from, yeah, you caught yourself from a why question to a what question. What does that feel like to you? I saw you catch that, so that was great. From why do you feel you have to be a fixer? That brought her right back up into her head. So again, keep out of those why questions. What's it like to be a fixer? Not why do you have to be a fixer? What's it like? Oh, it sucks. It's terrible. I hate it. I'm blah, 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 blah. Okay. Tell me more about how you're feeling that. Now she's looping with tears in victim mode. So she got into a little bit of that victim mode. And victim mode is a really tricky thing. When we go into a victim mode, there's something we're avoiding, and it's usually our our power. It's usually a sense of our power. And Kimberly, your client did that a lot too, that she's that victim mode thing. We'll get to that with yours in a minute. Her core issue is the feeling of drowning and letting others solve their own problems, right? So she really kind of, you named it, she named it. That was beautiful core work that you brought her to. I mean, just brilliant. Honing down, the two of you just drilled down so quickly to some really core stuff. I don't know how to respond and not get drawn into the drama. So that was, that's, again, this is her core dilemma. And I think you talked about detachment a little bit with her, but detachment is internal. It's not just external. It's not just about setting boundaries externally. It's an internal feeling. She can listen and create boundaries and still be loving, right? So that's what her. But it's not about us telling her that she can do that. It's about her finding that for herself. How can she detach without loneliness? What would that be like? So she said, I'm afraid if I detach, I'm going to feel lonely. So the question would be, well, what would it be like if you could detach without loneliness? Mm-hmm. Everything is in the client's statements themselves. All you're doing is turning their statements into questions to help them go deeper. What would you be like if you were detached without being lonely? These are some of the questions that you can ask her. What would your body look like? What would you feel like? Good. That was good. How did it make you feel to hear that summary? I love that you asked her that. And she said, it's soothing. How beautiful. And there was such a big shift in her, right? From beginning to end, she was soothed. Just by your repeating back, just by summarizing that, it's so important. And all of you, when you don't summarize because you're afraid you won't do it right, you take away that opportunity for them to be soothed by what they've just done with you. So summarize. I don't care if you do it bad, good. If you remember two things, just jump in the water. I liked your homework that you gave her to practice her boundaries, to stay in present, good, responding with a question, a smile. I don't know what I meant by that. So nice work, Louisa. So how are we doing on time? Do we have time for a couple, a little bit of feedback from the group?
Yeah, we've got a couple of minutes.
Okay. Anybody want to comment on what Louise's work touched in you or any additional things that you want to share about that. I think you need to add a new feature to your services that you offer of 1 hour sessions and charge $250. You're a doctor. And add this feature.
Can I say?
Yeah, Kimberly, go ahead.
Oh, Louisa, I was so impressed with, like Laura just said, how quickly and easily you went so deep with her. It was really just simple and beautiful, and I was just so impressed with you. It was beautiful to watch. Nice work.
Thank you.
And she was so open with you too about all of her feelings and the detachments and attachments and lack of it in her family. I mean, she was just so open, and you kept on going back to the feelings part of it. I mean, you've come a real long way, Louisa, about just all of the stuff that, you know, we practiced when we were in Austin. So kudos to you.
Great. Anybody else? Okay, Lynn.
You just have a real heart of compassion. And it's almost though it's childlike. It just has this presence of, you have no doubt how much you care and you feel really safe. And the fluidity that you have within this world is it's palpable. You just feel safe and cared for. And it was beautiful.
Great. Thank you, Lynn. All right. So let's, Louise, anything else before we move on that you want to say in closing for this?
No, but I was surprised by your comments because, again, I had no idea if that was the correct thing. So like I said, I felt better when I wasn't recording and then I continued.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, good. We'll practice keeping that recording going all the time. You'll forget about it after a while. And it also might, after this feedback, it might be helpful to go back and look at what you sent us again so you can see, all of you, to do that too. To, after you get your feedback, revisit what you did so that you can see what's working and where you still need to grow. Louisa, the main thing I would say to you is just to watch more closely when you're doing the repeating back. Watch how it's landing in your client so that you don't miss the cues, because there were some gestures and some shifts in her that you missed, that if you were watching her, you would see them. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Jan, you're up.
Okay. Yeah. And I have actually been recording all of my sessions, and I'm glad. I just got a blanket, you know, permission from her for the first. So that way she's just, you know, doesn't know whether, I don't say we're recording. She just knows it's going to be recorded. And that's helpful mostly for me, because you brought my attention to a lot of things I was not aware that I was even doing. And so it's really good, has been really good for me to watch and to kind of see that I will sort of sit back and try and sort of be detached, which is good sometimes, that objective observer. But like you say, I need to get into the soup more and really lean into it. So body language was helpful for me to watch my body language and some of the things that I wasn't conscious of doing. I feel like I have so much to learn, but it's a fun journey.
Good. So yeah, just in general, you did some excellent repeating back and really present, really being fully present with her, which was lovely. And the main things are, so repeating back, good with how does that feel? I loved that you caught that hoarding gesture right away for her. And that getting the soup was, it's not just a body posture. It's a little bit more of compassion of gosh, for you, I almost want to say the opposite of what I just said, which is I want you to feel more, a little bit more compassion. I know that it isn't there. I think it is there, but it's a little bit hidden from us somehow. And I'm not sure why that is.
Well, I'm worried about taking on my client's energy. I always have been. So I do create boundaries and borders, and probably maybe perhaps too much. But that I'm worried that the merger is going to come out in me.
Okay, I love that you're mindful of that, and that's super important. And so now, yeah, find the experiment with the balance between the two. Like, where might I be a little bit too disconnected from them, and where might I be like, uh-oh, now I'm merging? And that's really for all of us, right? That's a question for all of us to always be sort of monitoring or gauging or what's the word I'm looking for? It's a juggling, you know, a balance that we're always sort of, you know, experimenting with. Okay, so we got the hoarding gesture. That was beautiful. This is where the energy is. I love that language that you gave that. Good holding your hands out there and demonstrating it for her. One of the ways that can be helpful is to match your client's energy a bit. So if they're to some extent, now that's not always a good idea. If they're really, you know, going hyper, we might want to be more grounded and more and hold that antithesis for them. So we're modulating. That's the word I want. We're modulating all the time. It's trying to protect what? What's the it? So oftentimes you'll hear the word it being used. Well, this is, you know, it, this is how, you know how it feels. I'm not coming up with a good example, but when you hear the word it, tell me what it is. So we always want to get them specific. Excellent repeating. What's it like for you? I'm rebelling against it. What's the it? What's the it you're rebelling against? That's the question I wanted. Yeah, what's the it you're rebelling against? Good teaching. Energy lives in the subconscious. That was a great transition or segue to a teaching moment. And a couple of times you went into teaching mode in really good places because it increased the trust level. Oh, that's what we're doing. Oh, okay, now I get it. Okay, now it's safe to go in the deeper water. So those were some great examples of that, Jan. Not such a rigid rule. She's a good, I guess, to not have such a rigid rule is the goal, is her goal, right? So I guess I feel that in my stomach. So she oftentimes was talking about when you would ask her, where are you feeling that? She would talk about feelings from the past. We want to ask her, what are you feeling now as you tell me about it? And then take time. So slow down, take more time, especially her. She's a real fast-paced one, so we want to slow her down. Good, trusting yourself versus rules. I love that you captured that. That's the paradox, right? Trusting yourself versus rules. So in every session, you're going to hear a paradox if you listen for it. And when we hear that paradox, we're on our way down to the core belief. And when we're on our way down to the core belief, we're on our way down to feelings. And when we're on our way down to feelings, we're on our way down to sensations. Okay, so she's cycling up in a pattern. It scares me. Good reflection about the junk food and candy. Get her out of problem solving. So there's too many times the two of you went into, let's solve the problem, let's solve the problem. Okay, make this new recipe or make this, no. We want to explore the feelings. What are you feeling now? What's the bad feeling? I'm eating to feel better. From what? Eating to feel better from what? I love the rabid wolf theme that, played throughout that was so potent for her and for you. You and I talked about, and I just want to bring this point out, the laughter, like you already named it yourself, like laughing to try to lighten it. We want to be really careful with laughter, that they could feel laughed at. And I mean, she's your daughter now, we know that, so she knows you and she knows that you're not laughing at her. But you might have a client that doesn't know that. If that doesn't know that your intention is to try to help them feel lighter, they might feel laughed at. So we want to watch that use of laughter. Okay, let's see. Walking, Jim, don't interpret the wolf is sabotaging. I think I talked to you about that already, that you told her the wolf is sabotaging you. Well, we don't know that, right? There's usually a positive reason that our negative shadow side is coming up. And that's the work, to explore what's the positive gain in that thing that is no longer serving us now in present time, that was born out of the past. You know, there's a gestalt exercise that I hope I have time to teach you guys sometime about letting these two sides, when two sides of our client come up, or that paradox comes up, that's a really good way to let these two sides dialogue with each other. That can be really super helpful. But I don't want to take the time right now from that. Okay. And she didn't take it in. You said to her, you will be fit. You are fit. Well, be careful not to tell her what she feels. You are fit. You will be fit. He doesn't care. And these are words that need to come from within her. She had some beautiful insights and epiphanies about herself at the end there. You did some nice summarizing, and that helped her to have those epiphanies, right? She said, oh my God, the diet is the cage. You know, that was a brilliant insight for her. So the next time you might want to ask her, if it comes up, you know, tell me more about that cage, the diet cage you mentioned last time. What's that like? You know, just exploring that more deeply.
Laura, I have a question. Should I lead? I know you mentioned that you feel like she's really ready for a breakthrough, that she's really just on the cusp of really getting to the core issue. And I really want to be able to facilitate that as much as possible. Should I, in the next session, should I kind of summarize what we did in the last session and bring that up and see where she wants? How do I segue into that? Or do I let her bring that up? You know, cause I guess I kind of want to go back and also, you know, make sure that she does have those opportunities to explore that.
Yeah, I think, you know, probably both. You know, I usually like to start with letting my client, tell me what's pressing, what's up for them right now. And then at some point find a time, like, you know, last time you talked about blah, 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 blah. So, you know, it can go either way. I think that's, you know, if the client call, you know, if the session starts and they go, well, I'm not really sure where to start today, then it's great to say, well, how about if we just reflect back on for a minute on what we summarized with last session where we left off.
Okay.
So you can, you know, but if they plug in and they go, you know, this just happened and blah, 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 you know, you might need to start there.
So kind of let them lead and see if they have a direction they want to go, but if not, maybe, like you said, summarize the last session, say, let's kind of visit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can use your judgment. You know, and this is where your judgment and your intuition will help and be a factor in all of that, too. So, yeah, great question. Okay, so anything else, anybody else want to toss into the pot that stood out for you with Jan?
Yeah, we have about 3.5 minutes.
Okay.
Thank you for timing yourself.
Nice. Yeah. I loved your shifting into coaching and then back into listening. I this was really beautiful. I loved that. So I just wanted to say that. I really liked how the feeling I get from you as you're coaching. I'd love you to be my coach. It was great.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, let me just add, before we get to you, Mary Lynn, let me just add on that, you know, I think because you guys have both of those skills, it's really great. And it might also at times be helpful to just tell your client, hey, you know, we're going to shift for a minute from this process into coaching mode because I want to give you some support with blah, 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 blah. And then, but let's go back to, you know, so that may also be of use at different times. Okay. Mary Lynn, you had something you wanted to toss in there.
I just wanted to say real quickly that I was so impressed with both clients from Jan and from Kim. I didn't get to see Luis's. I missed yours somewhere, but with the other two clients, they're brilliant. They're both brilliant. And the process that each of you used just seemed to me to really let that shine and come out how just so smart they are.
Yeah, I love that we could really see a shift, right, in each client, all three of you, right, by the end of the session, from the start to the end. And this is really what we're watching for. What we want to have happen is you see that energy shift. They're lighting up. They want to come back. They want to work with you more. All of these things tell you that you're doing something right. You know, they want to come back. Something's happening that's very healing. Good. Anybody else?
I just wanted to say that I was glad to see the mother-daughter relationship working. I worked with my daughter just a little bit, and she'd had a big breakthrough right away, and I was shocked at it, and I kind of didn't know where to go with it, and we're going to work a little bit more. So it's encouraging me to see the confidence in the work that you're doing, Jan, with your daughter, because it's we have a good relationship, but you know, there's that client relationship that kind of gets in my way sometimes, and I have to remember just to do all of the three questions and be connected. So thank you for really showing some great work with your daughter. Very encouraging for me.
So I want to just add something to you parents there. If you're going to work with your kids, which is so beautiful to do, I want to just give you a heads up that if they have a memory of something that they experienced as a negative from their parent growing up, you want to be ready for that, and you want to be able to do some repair around that and still stay present with them when it could be real easy to drop into your own, oh my God, I messed up my kid, right? So that's going to be a hard line. That's the hard line to walk, and you're all capable of it. So, and then if you need to process what it might bring up for you, then just process it with your healer after the fact. But it's a beautiful opportunity for repair should that arise, and just be ready for it if it does. So just a little heads up on that note.
When you say repair, Laura, do you mean just staying with the feeling for them and reflecting back? And again, like you said, put our stuff on the shelf for us to work with our own healer, and focus on them and the feeling, and that's what you mean by repair, right?
Yes, that plus, because that would be what any therapist or, you know, practitioner would do. But plus, you might have the piece of going, you know what? I really was off then. I really missed you. I really wasn't available for you. I'm really sorry that hurt you.
So right. It's okay to acknowledge, to go into our own self and apologize if.
Yeah, I think if it's appropriate, you know, like to take accountability. If they call us on something that we did in our ignorance or in our, you know, wounding or in our own, to just to say, you know, I really wish I hadn't passed that on to you. You know, and I'm so sorry that happened for you.
Yeah, without making excuses.
Yeah. Right.
Or telling them the reasons why we did that.
Exactly. That you can bring to your healer or your practitioner. Here's why I did that.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you too, Jen. Great work. All right. Kimberly, you're on.
All right. Well, I will just give a quick background on this client. I met her last year. She came to me for her very serious, debilitating autoimmune disease called scleroderma. So she wanted to work a little bit on the physical as well as some of the body-mind work around her illness and had some recognition that maybe some unresolved anger was manifesting in this disease. But then she had huge financial issues and had to stop come see me. So I thought of her to be my case study for this class, and I had no idea of the trauma that she was currently in when we started working together. So I quickly had to shift gears into managing what was happening in her current moment, so I didn't do real transpersonal energy healing with her because we had major trauma issues to deal with. So the session that you guys saw was quite a long session because we had to work on some things first, and then I was kind of a experiment to see if I could use some of these techniques with her with where she's at right now. So it was a little scary for me to kind of shift into that, and there was so much happening with her. So it was challenging for sure, to say the least. And also, I just wanted to mention that I have two trauma certifications, and both I had a year's worth of supervision. So I'm a approved therapist for the Victims Compensation Fund. So I have worked with people with issues like this before, but not with this type of work. So it was hard, actually. It was hard. So I was grateful to get it on tape and have some feedback. So
great. Thank you, Kimberly. Well, you did a beautiful, beautiful job of integrating those two modalities, like in a really tough case. And I want to just start by saying to all of you, if you guys have a client like this show up on your doorstep, unless you're qualified, refer them out immediately. This is beyond the scope of practice of most of you probably here. So I just want to be really clear that not only in that kind of a case, but if there's any case that shows up that you are unsure about, you know, is this in my scope of practice, then get some supervision right away and you know, do what's ethically right, which is refer them out if it's not within your scope of practice. So all that said, some of the comments and feedback that I gave to Kimberly and that I'll kind of go over with you guys too today a bit were based in the fact that she is qualified to manage a case like this. And one of the things that I think that she did beautifully and brilliantly, and, you know, there might be times when you find yourself dealing with somebody in an extreme trauma situation where you haven't been properly trained, but, you know, like there are fires in LA, there are shootings that happen, and you might find yourself in a situation where you just have to step up and be available for somebody. So one of the things that you did so beautifully was that you really focused on her resiliency, which was absolutely right. And so for Jan, it's like the antithesis of what I said to Jan, right? Jan with this client needs to go deeper into the wounded aspects to, you know, to free up the life force of that. This woman just needs to get stable and solid and strong and have some resiliency. And if you noticed how she started out, where she barely looked up at all, like her eyes were downcast almost the entire time. And Kimberly, you had such a lovely presence for her, very soft and very open and very connecting and very receptive. I loved your use of pauses and silence with her. And that's a great example, what Kimberly showed us all in how to use pauses and silence and time and timing. It really can take that long. And she just sat there with her, just with that kind of soft smile and just hung out. And there was no rush. And so I think all of you could explore using that sense of timing much more that she modeled for us here. It was, let's see, sadness described more. She's on the verge of tears. She's on, yeah, and, you know, that was a moment in time. I don't know if that was a judgment call on your part, kind of right at the beginning, where she looked like she was on the verge of tears. I think you might have said that to her also. But and I think she said that she doesn't cry much, so that might have been a time to just hover there a bit more. But again, we wanted to establish the resiliency first, so that, you know, that's a tricky judgment call, you know, of whether to do that or not. And it may be useful for her to understand a little bit more about emotions and, you know, and how it's just energy. Like, there might be some useful teaching moments that you could bring into her to let her understand about, maybe you have already, I don't know, but that might be useful for her at some point. A failure. I'm mad, but I don't want to say it. I feel like a failure. That failure word came up a lot. And so when somebody is that tender, I like to go to the opposite. So, well, what would success look like? If you were a success, what would that be like, right? So if somebody's really attached to victim mode or failure mode, to ask me to get their focus on the opposite. Where does the anger live in your body? I think that was good. There's a whole lot of anger boundaries. I love that you had her pick one. She reflected back all three that she named, anger boundaries and whatever that other third thing was, and you had her pick one. Where's the teenager? Is that, I was curious about that. Is the teenager in danger, or how old is the teenager? Is the teenager living with her? There was an interesting comment about the teenager getting more money and the car and her not, you know, is that whole dynamic there?
Yeah. The teenager is 16 and he does live with her, and he's been very concerned about her safety as well. And so that's another piece of why it's so complicated. There's so many things happening in her world right now. So it was challenging to navigate what am I going to work on in the moment with her during that session. It was tough.
Yeah. Well, you've made some really good judgment calls on what to focus on. I just wanted to check to see, is the teenager in danger or not? Since there's a...
No, we luckily we got the restraining. I had to coach her on how to go get a restraining order, and she did that. And now she has resources that she didn't have before. So
excellent.
She's much safer. Yeah.
Okay, great. There was a core belief that showed up here. I have to be crabby in order to be confrontational. So that was a very interesting statement that jumped out at me, and that maybe could be explored a little bit more. Don't want to express anger because it's more frustrating. Jamie almost killed you. I am. Where does that live in you? I like that you kept referring back to the incident. I think that was important to keep her in reality and perspective, because there's a lot of denial of reality. That pattern that she was doing, I felt something there's something about whenever we do the victim dance, there's something about it that's working for us, something positive. And I'd love to see that get a little bit more explored also. She's laughing. It would be good to figure that out, she said. So that it would be good to figure that out. That was good. So something lightened up in her around there. There were lots of nice shifts. It was almost like seeing her just come up from out of the dark, slowly, 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 layers peeling away of just from your reflecting back. She got lighter and lighter, and she got slowly more connected to you. You know, I wonder when you might watch for a time when you could ask her to see what's coming toward her from you, where you could establish a little bit more of a bond with her. And that's, again, that's tender, right? We don't want to do it too soon because it'll be too scary. But that might be something to, you know, what's to bring up at some point when it feels like she's got enough of herself. She's really got victim mode down. No matter what they do, they'll be mean to you, she said. But again, you kept focusing on the resilience, which was good. Summarizing where we've gotten so far, I love that you did that at about halfway through. So for somebody like her, who she kept disconnecting, like disassociating, disconnecting, and then coming in, coming out, coming in. So summarizing a lot, I think, was helpful for her to stay in present time and get her grounded. Good made me realize what I'm doing, that I matter. I loved that you had her work with that I matter. Go deeper into what's here now. There's a feeling she's afraid she can't tolerate. So I think you gave her some positive feedback about some of her feelings. I would also just keep reinforcing that. Lana, looks like you did tolerate that. Looks like you were actually able to do that. Can you notice that you know, that you are tolerating that? So that's just a belief that she can't tolerate meanness, or that she can't say, well, you know, you look like you're pretty alive and you came through that. Looks like you got actually maybe a higher tolerance than you might be giving yourself credit for, right, to give her some perspective on that. Okay, tell me more about the darkness. What's it like in there? That would be tricky timing-wise. Good talking about my feelings is uncomfortable. I want to try to get to the things that you and I didn't have a chance to go over. Beautiful compassion, Kimberly. Yeah, tolerance level of discomfort. How is it that you're doing that then? If you can't tolerate it, how is it that you're actually doing that? So that those are the things you could challenge her on a little bit. Good reflection that you're learning how to have emotions. Good with sharing the laughter with her. That was just a lovely, lovely moments of sharing the laughter with her. Good, the reinforcement of her speaking up with honesty. That she said she was the most honest with you that she's ever been. That was a beautiful disclosure on her part. A nice self-disclosure on your part, too. That was a really appropriate self-disclosure about your own abuse background. A great example of appropriate self-disclosure. Learning how to tolerate emotions creates the imprint to take you everywhere. Yeah, there are a couple places where, again, teaching mode might help her for a moment or two about her emotions and letting her know that when she's connected to you and she can hear it, when she's present for it. She's kind of giddy in her joy, which is vulnerable. I love that, all that reflection of that, great pauses. I think we talked about getting her extra support women's group. I think you said that's happened already now. So that's all I have. So comments from anybody else?
I just wanted to say that I heard her say that she felt safe with you. And I like her body language for in the beginning, she was so like she almost was going to disappear, and you were somehow able to like reflect her without and still make us feel safe. Like you were in control and like you got this. And then she said she felt safe with you. And I just, that was a really powerful moment for me.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, when I first started working with her, she could hardly look at me, and she was very, very collapsed, like the whole session. And I really literally got her up out of the chair, and we worked on coming up out of collapse, and we worked on some boundary stuff so that she could have some tools to go into the police station and get a restraining order. So I'm so grateful for the exercises, just the simple exercises that I've learned from Laura to help me help her come out of that collapse, because she could not have taken that action in that collapse, not being able to look at someone or be able to stand up even. So I'm so grateful for those exercises. And then I got to have her in person to do that with.
That is so great. That's so great. Just that simple embodiment, you know, is so powerful. Good for you and for her. Deb.
Hey, Kimberly, I've already made some comments in email, but just seeing you in action, it was just so heartfelt. And, you know, noticing all of that space that you allowed her, as Laura had mentioned, was so good. And I saw it right from the beginning and all the way towards, you know, the whole, I mean, I was fixed on all the different things, and it was just all the details that you saw in her, even though she wasn't giving you a lot of clues, but she was, because she's been so abused. Knowing that you're going to continue on with her and get her to have more of an attachment style with people, I think that's going to be really important for her. As she goes forward, because all she's got is her son right now. So beautiful work. I appreciated that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So Kimberly, anything, or Jan, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, what a great model to have for us. I'm so happy that we have a copy of that and can see that and also know when things are outside the range of scope. And with that, we have 1 minute left.
Okay. Thanks, Jan. Kimberly, anything more you want to say just sort of in closing? And
No, I'm so grateful for the feedback, because that was really not easy to try and use that modality, kind of experimenting with that. That was challenging for me. So I appreciate the feedback. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, you did really a remarkable job of blending lots of modalities together. You used all the tools in your toolkit for her.
I was digging deep in that toolbox for sure.
Yeah. I would have been sweating over that one. I got to tell you, that was a tough one. It's just beautiful work.
Thank you.
So a couple of announcements, everybody. First of all, I have to move our last session, which is right now scheduled for January 19th. So it's going to be a couple weeks later to February 2nd. So I hope that's not a problem for anybody, but I am not going to be available on January 19th. So February 2nd, the same time, we'll have our final session 6. There's also been some questions about, so please mark that down. Make sure you put it in your calendar. There's also been some question about the, you know, for those of you, you know, so many of you are so close to completing your certification now. So there's a couple of things. One is that there was a question about your 10 individual sessions that are required for certification. So you do have to have 10 individual sessions with a qualified transpersonal energy healing practitioner. And they're not, I have to make it, if you're not sure who's qualified or not, ask me with regards to who you might be working with. I also, as I'm working with all of you, it's just sort of occurred to me, many of you have already a practitioner, and some of you probably have or possibly have a qualified practitioner. If you don't, I'd be happy to speak to you about that, maybe recommend somebody or work with you myself on a bit of a discounted rate because you're a student in the class. But I also want to offer a discounted rate for at least one session with each of you, because, and that can count toward your 10 sessions, because I want to really work with you on the glitches that might be showing up that are interfering from you going to another level. So, if that's something that you want to do or take advantage of, I need to, this just came to me today while we're on this call together. So I don't have a price point set yet in my mind, but if you want to talk to me about that, what might work for you, please email me and let's get you set up on a session. As soon as you're done with those sessions, and if you've done all your other qualifications, then we will, you'll be able to be certified. Those of you who signed on for certification before we added modules 8, 9, and 10, you'll be able to be certified without taking those. I still want to highly recommend that you take Kimberly's module, The Physiology of Trauma, Tony's module, and module 10, which is an integration session, where I will do we'll have an integration session with the whole team, but I will also give you an individual closing session. And then the last thing I want to share with you is after Shine, we had a faculty meeting, myself, Kimberly, Tony, Lynn, Rita Marie, and Jessica were all there, and we did some brainstorming on this thing that we do called transpersonal energy healing. And because none of us have been terribly happy with what we've been calling it, because when you tell people you do your transpersonal energy healing practitioner, they go, well, what's that? So we came up with some names, and I want to toss them out to you guys because I have my favorite at this point. Lynn has her favorite at this point. Kimberly has sort of voted in on hers, but I want to toss them out to you, sort of the final contenders, and see what you guys think, okay? And I would love your weigh-in on these because this is what you're going to be calling yourself. And here's what's on the table. So see how this lands and see if it resonates with you, if it makes any more sense, if you feel like you know what it is, or people might want to sign up for a session with you in this stuff. So I'm going to give you three titles that I've narrowed it down to. Title one, Subconscious Cellular Healing, a Body-Mind Therapy. So it would be Subconscious Cellular Healing, and then the subheading, a Body-Mind Therapy. That's option one. Option two, holistic energy counseling, making subconscious patterns conscious. Okay. Option three, holistic energy dialogue, making subconscious patterns conscious. So if anybody wants to react to this, we've got about 3 minutes left. I'd love to hear your
initial. Can you say those again?
Yeah.
Yes, I will. Number one, subconscious cellular healing, a body-mind therapy. Option two, holistic energy counseling, making subconscious patterns conscious. Option three, holistic energy dialogue, making subconscious patterns conscious. So you would say, I am a subconscious energy healing practitioner, or you would say, I am a holistic energy counseling practitioner, or you would say, I am a holistic energy dialogue practitioner.
I really like the holistic energy counseling, but I like to have the colon and then a body-mind therapy combination. That sounds good because instead of the other ones,
Uh-huh.
So I like the holistic energy counseling, a body mind therapy, because it's like, it's just real succinct. Especially it's not a tongue tie thing.
Right.
So that's what I thought.
Thank you. I like that.
I agree with Deborah. I like that one too.
I like that too. Yeah.
I also like number one. I like the idea that subconscious is in the actual title, not the tagline. And I really like the application to the cellular aspect of what we're doing. I feel like it really ties the mind body together. And I also feel like it sounds a little, and this is, this is a judgment call, but for me, I feel like it sounds a little more legit, a little less woo woo. So I just have to say that.
Yeah.
I vote for what Jan just said.
Okay.
I shy away from the words counseling and therapy because I am not qualified. I'm not a counselor. I'm not a therapist. You know, so I shy away from those two words. I think for me also, holistic is where I think I've spent the last 25 years when I started energy work. So it resonates with me. To immediately say subconscious cellular healing, that I have a feeling my thoughts go immediately. They're going to say, what? What does that mean? You know, and are they, am I going to see people shying away from it? My community, they have outhouses in my community. You know?
Yeah.
So it would be a hard fit, I think, for some cultures.
Uh-huh. Thank you, Dorothy, for that feedback. When you said, I'm sorry, just one more question for Dorothy. When you said you like the word holistic, did you like, and you don't like the word counseling, so would you prefer holistic energy dialogue?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you could do a combination of holistic energy healing, making subconscious patterns conscious. That's another way of saying that. Because it's, because the healing happens with them. So, and then you're defining it more with making subconscious patterns conscious.
Right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
I like number one best.
The subconscious cellular healing?
Mm-hmm. I feel like holistic, like everybody knows I'm holistic at that point when I'm saying those words.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that no matter what we call it, people, it's going to invite questions. And I think that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good points, everybody. Anybody else want to weigh in on these? This is really helpful feedback, everybody.
The other one is that if we use number one, so if we could take out the therapy part of it, you can do subconscious cellular healing, a body, mind, energy experience or something like that.
Okay. Any other thoughts? All right. Well, I want to thank you all for this. We don't really have time to do a closing unless we did a one word. Why don't we just do a one word closing of what's here right now for you. And then before we stop. So Kimberly, do you want to start us out?
Oh, relieved.
Valerie.
Oh, hanging in.
Great. Thanks. Lynn Rose.
Gratitude.
Mary Lynn.
I'll say gratitude too.
Okay. Steph.
I'm inspired.
Beautiful. Louisa.
I'm relieved, but excited that I felt I accomplished something outside of my comfort box.
Good for you. Jan.
eager, excited.
Dorothy.
Learning.
Mm-hmm. Lynn DeBure.
Aware.
Mm-hmm. Deborah.
Understood.
Great. Janet.
Grateful.
Chris.
Inspired.
Beautiful. And I feel grateful, and I feel just filled up. And thank you all so much. And we will see you in a couple of weeks. Have a beautiful Thanksgiving, everybody.
You too.
Bye.
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 Bye-bye.